Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, beautiful people. You guys are listening to episode 97, Trust Your Abundance with David Strickle. And before we jump into today's episode, a reminder that this show is sponsored by Living the Good Life Magnesium. If you guys are interested in learning more, please listen to episode 73 of Witchy Wellness Radio. And if you want to purchase a magnesium, head over to the show notes and use that link and make sure you use code WITCHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, for 10% off of your purchase. And one more thing before we jump into today's amazing episode. Are you ready to up your abundance in maybe a side income or a full-time income of reoccurring revenue, all while helping others take charge of their own health and their household for their family, but also take charge and empower others for their own financial success? Well, I have grown my doTERRA oil business for years now, and this monthly income has not only paid for my oils, but it also pays for Witchy Wellness and so much more. And it has enabled me to continue investing in my growth and my own abundance. So if you guys are interested in learning more about how oils can help with your abundance in your life, or maybe you just want to learn about how essential oils can help you in your health and wellness or emotional wellness routines, my team is hosting a weekly essential oil webinar class free on Zoom Mondays at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern for 1 hour. And we do like to limit this to just 10 people so everybody gets the adequate attention and time that they all deserve. So head over to the show notes, click on that link to schedule and reserve your spot ASAP for the next essential oils class. Now back to today's episode, Trust Your Abundance with David Strickle. From early childhood, David received what he refers to as guidance from source. During his teenage years, he developed a deep understanding of universal laws and used these teachings to overcome enormous obstacles. He developed an ability to share this guidance for the benefit of others and has created a simple set of tools that has profoundly transformed every aspect of his life, delivering a life of joy, clarity, and abundance. And these tools have become the Taya practice, which is also referred to as Trust Your Abundance. Through his best-selling book, radio show, podcast, and online trainings programs, he has helped transform lives of those who seek a new way all around the globe. This lifestyle empowers students to manifest abundance in all areas of their lives, love, wellness, source connection, and finances. In this episode, you guys will hear David's backstory from learning he was channeling source and now helping others with their own abundance blocks. Channeling, what does this really mean? And can we all do this? What is spiritual awakening? The Taya practice or trust your abundance practice? All about law of attraction. What are abundance blocks? And so much more. I am so excited for you guys to dive into episode 97, Trust Your Abundance with David Strickle. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, the show you get to learn your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And today we have the wonderful David Strickle. And from early childhood, David received what he refers as guidance from source with a capital S, y'all. During his teenage years, he developed a deep sense of understanding of universal laws and used these teachings to overcome enormous obstacles. He developed an ability to share his guidance for the benefit of others and has created a simple set of tools that has profoundly transformed every aspect of his life, delivering a life of joy, clarity, and abundance. These tools have become the Taya practice or Trust Your Abundance. Through his best-selling book, radio show, podcast, and online training programs, he has helped transform the lives of those seeking a new way all around the globe. The lifestyle empowers students to manifest abundance in all areas of their lives, including love, wellness, source connection, and finances. The Taya practice is produced proven results, including miraculous healings, improved relationships, new businesses, endless flow of wealth, and so much more. But by far the most amazing results with the Taiwa practice have been the many awakenings people experience by adopting this practice as a lifestyle. Holy crap. I want to get my...
We just sent you the short one, I think.
I know. And I edited that down because I was like, there are so many benefits here.
There is a short version. Apparently that's not it.
But you know, that's okay, David. I want everybody to get to know you before we jump in here. This is an episode that they want to keep tuning into because all of those things, game changers, you know, and so in the game of life, if you will, I would love to hear how you got into doing all of this. Yeah, I'm assuming there were multiple awakenings and, you know, our own hero's journey through our own path sometimes doesn't seem as straight of a healing line as we'd like it to be. But I know all the wisdom that you channel, but also that you embody through your day-to-day life has helped so many people. And I would just love to hear your own transformational story.
Well, I appreciate being here. First of all, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
For your audience for listening. And my story started out, it's 53 years in the making. I just turned 53, so it's still going, right? So I have a recollection from a very early childhood of having source consciousness. I believe we all have that. We're all pre-equipped with that. I think for a lot of us, it gets sort of worked out of us throughout our lifetime from the teachings of culture, parents, religion, you know, society in general. And we start operating in what a lot of us refer to as 3D reality and not really allowing the spiritual to really be part of our experience here on earth. It is always to some degree, but there's so much more, as you know, available to us that we don't allow. So I had some fantastic gifts as a child. And the first gift was that my father disappeared from my life when I was six. And my mother really disconnected from life at that point. So I was really left to my own devices, really to raise myself. I had an older brother who was a little instrumental in my life, and my mother was weaving in and out. She was always physically present, but she wasn't emotionally present. She wasn't a parental figure in my life. She sort of went to work, paid the bills, came home and locked herself in her room, really for the rest of her life after she got divorced in 1975, and she didn't pass until 2014. And being left to my own devices, I allowed this knowing to become my guidance. And it guided me through a rough childhood. I didn't have parents, obviously, that were connected to me. We did not have money. My parents divorced when I was six after my father left. He went on to marry someone with a lot of money. We were very poor in comparison. In fact, we were very poor in comparison to most people. And I was dyslexic. I wasn't a good student in school at all. So my childhood was pretty rough. And to look at me as a child, you would have thought I would have ended up dead or in prison or who knows what, right? But I didn't. I really followed my inner being and my inner guidance. And even though I wasn't a good student, by the time I was 19, I had my own company. I really understood what we now call the law of attraction. I understood that universal law. I didn't know what it was called. I didn't know it had a name. I understood that always. When I was a child, I understood that you manifested your reality. And I recall a turning point when I was around age 14, explaining it in detail to my older brother. And this was way back in 1982, probably around when your parents were born. And I remember really being detailed in this information. I had no idea where it was coming from. I thought I created it. And I remember him thinking I was crazy. And I just knew that it was the way. And from that point forward, I remember living the life of someone my age that was well off financially and materially. And so high school, drove a brand new car, had fancy clothes, all that stuff. I carried that belief system throughout my 30s and into my early 40s and was always wondering why I was different, how I had this knowing. But I also created a ton of obstacles in my path in my 20s and 30s because I really, really, really focused on material stuff. Because when you grow up poor, you see all the rich kids around you going to summer camp and going on ski trips and going to Disney World. I didn't get, you know, do any of that as a child. In fact, we were scrambling for beans to eat sometimes in my house as a child. So your version of abundance and happiness is just about money and material things. And I lived a lot of adult life thinking that, as a lot of people do. And the interesting thing is that I thought it, I believed it, and I manifested it. I went from being self-employed to a very high-paying corporate job. And by the time I was 40, 41, living in the dream house with the dream cars and the dream clothes and the vacations and all of the stuff that you're supposed to have to be happy. But I was miserable. I was very unhappy in my life. I didn't really love myself. I had been disconnected completely from my mother for over 20 years. I was in a relationship that was not serving either of us, a job that I didn't like, a body that I didn't like, tons of health problems, addicted to painkillers, Oxycontin at the time, and realized that, gosh, I have all the stuff. I'm still not happy. I did something wrong here. And that was around the time the book, The Secret, came out. And then from The Secret, I discovered the Abraham Hicks teachings. I had already been told by a psychic years prior to that I was a channel. I was a corporate dude. I didn't want any part of that. I thought it was weird. But I knew I was weird. I just hid my weirdness. I really accepted my weirdness, but I kept it well hidden. I crafted this fantastic outer facade of materialism and consumption that worked for me in that way for many, many years until I got into my early 40s and realized this isn't working anymore. I've got to do something different. So I started meditating. And like I said, I've been seeing psychics for years, you know, trying to figure out why I was understanding the ways of the universe like people, unlike most people were. And in one of my first meditations, I had what I would now call a Kundalini awakening, where this energy erupted at the base of my spine and just electrified me, that electrification continues to this day. And through absorbing the Abraham Hicks teachings, I got really, really comfortable with the idea of being a channel. Esther Hicks brought me into acceptance of what channeling is and what my abilities were and what I was receiving. And from there, I taught myself to speak it. I didn't have the miraculous, you know, something controlled me and started speaking through me experience. It's sort of like I mentally shift into this other gear and allow this consciousness to flow through me. And when I did, amazing things started coming out, and I was really guided to share it with the world. And while I was still in my corporate job, I started a podcast, the Stream of David podcast, which I still have. And that was back in 2017. And I started this podcast where I started channeling on a topic, and it was kind of choppy at first, but the more I channeled and the more people listened to it and wanted more information from it, the more it flowed. And so from there, I quit my corporate job with no real plan. I was in a very high-paying position. I changed really everything about my life. Before that, I'd gotten out of the bad marriage, out of the big house, you know, gotten rid of all the possessions, just completely cleared everything out of my life and started over, and had no idea how I was going to share this message with the world. I knew I wanted to write a book, and I did. And I started the podcast, but then this opportunity came along to coach people. And I've been doing that now for 3 years. And what has emerged from that is a course that I created based on how I transformed my life has turned into the Taya practice. And the Taya practice just turned 3. So it's eternal wisdom, but applied in a very modern way. And I've now taught it to over 100 people in a very formal setting all over the world. And they transform their lives with the practice and continue to do so and continue to expand. And what I found with it now, more than 10 years into practicing it, there's no ceiling. There's no point of enlightenment that you just stop. Maybe that's death or transition, but things just keep getting clearer and clearer and clearer. And the more I do the practice, the more I detune fear and judgment from my reality completely.
Wow, mic drop on that ending there. I mean, if that's not powerful, I find channeling so interesting to me. And I just have some side note that it popped in my head. I started reading Abraham Hicks probably about 10 years ago, and I would read it. I'd love it. And then I got like, I don't know which one was their first book, but I got the first one on CD, you know, when people still had CD players in their cars and all that kind of stuff. And I turned it on. And it was pretty, now she's smoother when she channels, but it was pretty almost alien sounding and not in a derogatory sense, because I love extra dimensionals as well, but it freaked me out. I listened to about 30 seconds. I had to turn it off. And that was kind of the beginning of my own journey to where I got here today. But people, sometimes the channeling topic it triggers something within people, good or bad, you know? And for me, and I'd love to hear your take on like how you describe it. For me, you know, when I get into this flow state, when I lose track of time and space, when I'm actually present, like really present, like lost in that present moment, that's a channel state for me. I think there's all kinds of channel states. So I would love to hear your take on, you know, your version of channeling, but also just channeling in general, because I think almost debunking channeling stuff myths.
Yeah. So first of all, I channel source. We all channel source. Everybody has source energy in them. It is source. It's how we're powered, right? So everybody has a source connection. We are taught to drown it out or to create something external from us and make it and give it a name, give it a male name and make it that, you know, very often. And it's funny because when I got into the point where I could really have a conversation with this consciousness, I wanted a name, you know, like, hey, Abraham is Abraham and this person is this person. And it was always a male name. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And their answer was very clear. We're not human. We don't have a name. We're not gendered. We are the eternal consciousness that of all creation, and you're all part of this, and that's what you're tapping into, and everybody has it available to them, but they express it differently. We're all different. So the beautiful creations of our world, from the what we would consider organic creation all the way to human creation, the things that we appreciate are expressions of source. They are created via source energy. So every musician, every dancer, every writer, every business person that creates a great new product, there's no judgment in that. Whatever it is, when you are, we talk a lot about the vibrational spiral. This is something that we create for teaching because we're all vibrational. We're all aware of it because our emotions are a reflection of our vibration. And sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. And there's a flow that we all experience. We've created this little point of neutrality. And we, just for the purpose of teaching, we talk about being above neutral or below. Above neutral, you are source connected. You are allowing your source to be realized by you. And that is where all new thought occurs. That's where your intuition comes from, your new ideas, your solving of problems. And when you get below neutral, you're no longer thinking new thoughts. You're down in negative emotion, negative vibration, and you're just recycling thoughts down there. So when we think about channeling, everyone is a channel and everyone is channeling when they're working or operating vibrationally above neutral, where they're believing in themselves and loving themselves and appreciating all that is and being really appreciative of the earth environment that we all chose to come to, whether we realize it or not. And being in that flow, whatever you're creating, even if it's something that we judge as minor, like just a better mood, or setting an intention to go out and just have a delightful experience shopping for food, and then have people react differently to you, which we can all do. We can all experiment with this. When our vibration is higher, the world responds to us differently. We're drawing in these more positive vibrations and more positive experiences. And it doesn't cost a dime to experiment with that and show yourself that how powerful this really is. So you get above neutral, you're channeling. Now, we're not all intended to be Beyonce, right? We're not all intended to be the master of anything. And certainly there are people that can get into gear and channel information more adeptly than others, but there's certainly plenty of people that can do lots of things that I can't do. So it's just our individuality expressing itself. And for me, it was the perfect storm of my, you know, unmanaged childhood, my voice, my ego, even, you know, being able to say, hey, I channel source, you know, that's part of it. All of the things sort of fell into place for me once I stopped fighting it. You know, I spent 41 years fighting it. Once I stopped fighting it, everything just fell together that made this message so special and so transformative. And I'm just the conduit for it. David is not a guru. David is not, you know, I am not, you know, I'm just the one who's able to allow it to flow. And I have no fear in sharing it and no judgment in sharing it. So even if they say something that ruffles feathers, I don't edit it. I was on an Instagram Live a couple of weeks ago, and suddenly the stream is talking about abortion. And the question wasn't even about that. And I was thinking, oh gosh, why are you getting me into this, you know, in the background sort of, but I just let it flow. And of course, it was a beautiful interaction. Everyone that was interacting, loved it. And then I later found out that someone actually had that question weighing on their mind and they were afraid to ask. So that's what where it came from. It was drawn out by somebody else. And I love those experiences when the stream does that. So, you know, as far as skepticism around channeling, I've always said there's nothing wrong. There's a healthy amount of skepticism because there is a lot of BS in the world, a whole lot of it. You know, everything is an illusion as it is. And certainly some things are an illusion that work for us and some things do not. It's okay to be skeptical of anything. What I used to say about the Abraham material to friends when I was trying to turn them onto it, set aside where it's coming from and just listen to the message and see if it resonates. And if it does, great. If it doesn't, then it's not for you. You're not in alignment with it. It's not going to be, you know, very useful to you at this time. I say the same thing about the stream. You know, if you turn on and listen to my teachings or what the stream is offering, and it really resonates and it sounds like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been looking for, then you're there for a reason. But if it's a turnoff or if you think it's fake or whatever it is, I and absolutely the stream are completely fine with you not being into it because it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I think, what is that phrase, you know, when you're ready, the teachers will come or the lesson will come. And definitely, like I tell everybody, any episode of Butchie Wellness or any podcast, if you are like really aligned and it's really like piquing your curiosity, your intuition, like follow up, you know, see what David has to offer, you know, whatever podcast is, or share it with a loved one if you feel called, like, oh, my sister would just this. This reminds me, my sister needs to hear this. Something from the heart. It's, to me, that's channeling. That's your intuition saying, hey.
Absolutely. Well, okay. You know, the word witchy or witch in itself is very triggering because mm-hmm. when I was a child, I remember being taught that, well, you know, at Halloween, witches were cool, but I had an aunt that was very religious. No, that's all of Satan. You can't do that. Witchcraft is wrong and it's evil. And of course, the way witches are depicted. And then you know, start studying beyond that, perhaps, and you learn that it's a whole different thing than what is presented at Halloween. And then, you know, there's two camps. There's people that think it's nuts, and there's people that really have reverence for it. I have reverence for anyone's process. Whatever you're creating in your reality that works for you, then that's the thing for you. And sometimes there's things that we flow through for a period of time and then we flow on to something else. And that's okay too. We're vibrational beings. And to me, as long as we are looking to expand and really appreciate and be in joy and love, you can't go wrong. There's no wrong teacher or wrong path. There just isn't.
Amen. And that's the reason why I actually named it Witchy Wellness, was because I wanted to flip the script on, as a woman, what it really truly means to be embodied and standing in your power and this balance, you know, balance masculine and feminine aspect. And it was really part of my own healing journey too, stepping into that and continually every day still, you know, like you said, it's like, is there more? Is there more? And it just continually to grow, expand. Just side note, I love asking that in meditation. Anybody out there? You know, is there more expansiveness? Is there more love? And when you get deep into wherever you may go, it's a very nice question to have on hand. But I would love to switch gears just a little bit and actually talk about your Tao practice and, you know, kind of maybe more details into it and specifics, like how people apply it to their lives. I think people understand the word manifestation, but I don't like, it's kind of a catchphrase nowadays, which is cool. It's become more popular, I think. But I don't think people realize a lot of the work that is involved with aligning to what you want.
Taya goes a lot deeper than typical, typical law of attraction teachings. I when I discovered the secret, it was like music to my ears. You know, again, it was that thing that I thought I invented at 14 being written to me, you know, about in a book. And it was like, yes, exactly what we think about comes to be. And then that book itself was a very good first step into spirituality for me, because it's not very spirit. The book itself is not really about spirituality. It's about attracting the things that you want in your life, which there's nothing wrong with. But then I needed more. I realized, okay, there's so much more than this. And then I got into Abraham, and Abraham's message is beautiful. It's all about think about what you want and it shall be, you know, be positive, be in a high vibrational space, be in the vortex. Yes, yes, yes. I get it. I totally get that. I need to love myself more. I need to be happy. And where Taya came from is that with my own personal practice, and not just Abraham, but all of those types of teachings, I ultimately sort of hit a wall with a few things where I realized, well, gosh, you know, I've got this sticking point back here that isn't going away. This thing that happened in my past or my childhood, or this wall that's been built by my ego, understandably, is not letting me fully embody the beingness of whatever it is that I wanted. And it was stopping me from progressing. And so my work went much deeper into the healing work of my past, the healing work of my childhood. I now talk about, you know, life is like an onion and we peel away these layers of judgment and fear in our lives. And as we do, we get more and more clarity. We get more source connection. And we really come to understand how much programming we absorb in our environment and how programmed we are. And I've started referring to Taya as an upgraded operating system, because essentially our physical vehicles are technology. You know, obviously we're designed by consciousness where we function too perfectly in our environment not to have had some sort of consciousness design about us, right? Even if it's expressed as evolution, there was consciousness in that evolution. So we go really deep into teaching the universal process of all creation, which is vibrational flow. Moving through high and low vibration is a natural state of being in a physical environment. So we don't demonize the being in low vibration. We don't judge it the same in the Taya practice. You know, we hear judgmental speak sometimes of, oh, well, that person was really low vibe. I can't be around them, or they're toxic. That's a word I really don't want to hear anymore, because when somebody comes to me and says that everyone they're around is toxic, well, you know, what in you is attracting this toxicity? You know, are you toxic too? If you're judging them as toxic, are you so fearful of it that you're thinking about it all the time and you're bringing that into your reality? So maybe it's about, you know, finding appreciation for the people that are going through their more negative experience or their lower vibe experience, or however you want to, you know, classify that. And what I found is when you start to find appreciation for things that we're not supposed to appreciate, you detune their power in your life. So the transgressors of your life, you know, the abuse that you suffer, or the setback at work or in a relationship, or any of those things, we're sort of programmed to think like victims, that, you know, this thing happened to me and it's so bad and it's so awful and I can't believe that awful person did this horrible thing to me, and I'm going to think about how awful they are now for the rest of my life. And then they notice a few years in perhaps that, oh, wait, that person keeps coming back around in different forms into my life. Well, that's because we attract everything. And I do laugh at the term manifestation. People will say, you know, how do I manifest? Well, you're manifesting all the time. Everything that's occurring in your life is your creation. And people don't want to hear that. They, no, I would have never created X, Y, Z. I wouldn't have asked for that. That's stupid. This law of attraction stuff doesn't work. That's all BS. But they're not understanding, again, that we're moving through vibrational flow. So we're constantly attracting a mix of wanted and unwanted things. But when you stop judging the lower vibration as bad and you start appreciating the lower vibrational manifestations, your obstacles, then you're not experiencing as many of them because you're not fearing them. You're not having a negative reaction when they show up in your life. You're understanding that, wow, this was something that I created. And even if I don't know how I created it, it's not that big a deal to figure out the how. It's really a bigger deal to figure out the appreciation for it so you can raise your vibration. And then instead of doing what we often tend to do, our vibration goes up and the last thing we want to think about is that thing that happened when we were down. But instead, being able to fearlessly look back at it from that higher vantage point and solve it. And then it's not a recurring theme in our lives anymore. We don't have that same loser boyfriend showing up again and again and again, or bad job, or toxic coworkers, or overdrawn bank account. We can solve that thing when we start to look at it from a higher perspective and not fearing its arrival, because we're always going to re-manifest. A lot of people say, you know, the universe is going to send it to you until you heal it. But really, we're attracting it through this vibrational flow. We're attracting it to ourselves over and over again in different forms, because until we heal it, that negative story is swimming around in our subconscious mind, always active. That three-year-old version of you that felt unloved or unworthy or even abused is still active until that is healed. So the Taya practice is law of attraction. Have your yachts and your mansions and your Lamborghinis, it's fine, but you're not going to find true joy until you learn to love what is in your now. The body you're in, the relationship you're in or not in, your financial situation, whatever it is, finding your path to loving exactly what is creates the alchemy that changes everything moving ahead. And it's really stepping into this space of not needing any of that stuff. And then understanding that from not needing it, you actually have a more abundant life experience because the vibration of need is not a high vibration. You know, I talk to people all the time. I need to manifest a relationship. I need the right person to come into my life, or I need more money. I need to win the lottery. I love that one. I need. And the universe only answers yes. So the universe is always going to be saying, yeah, you need it. Here's more need. You're going to keep needing until you realize you don't need it. And then when you don't need it, it's when you actually are in the best position to receive it. When it's not conditional anymore, right?
Yeah, I like the phrase, you need to feel it in order to heal it.
Yeah.
And it's so important. I love what you said. It's more than just manifesting. It's being able to look at those lower points from the low point, but I like to call it bird's eye view. In our household, you know, whenever we're kind of hitting our head against our own program, it's easier when you see another, you know, if your loved one who's also kind of on the same page, my partner and I, like, it's weird within like a thought, before I even think the thought, he goes, are you okay? What are you thinking? You know, you just can tune into each other when you start going, which is nice. But sometimes you're like, let me just stew, which, you know, granted, yeah. I don't want to.
I live with someone who's very much like that. Let me have my down the spiral time. Okay, fine.
Jokingly, I do. But in the morning, maybe not as much. I'm working on that one, manifesting a bright and shiny Lauren right when I wake up. But feeling it in order to heal it. And this bird's eye view, you know, I like thinking it, yeah, high vibrational, but look at this from a bird's eye view, this higher perspective than this like tunnel vision, you know, looking at this issue, it's happening to me rather than for me, which is just like you said, it's sometimes easier said than done. But I think that's why we're here, is just you continually peel back this onion and learn and expand and get to experience all that creation has to offer, which I think it's a beautiful experience. I don't know about you guys. I would love to talk about abundance blocks. We kind of started talking about like doing the work, you know, yes, it's about manifestation, but more so working through these programs that are, you know, programmed since your subconscious, you're a sponge from like age 3 to like, what is it, 7 or 10 or something. And I think, you know, it's also generational. It's depending on what people believe. I think it's your soul, multiple lifetimes. Sometimes things come up to be cleared. And at the end of the day, I'm going through this past year, everything that's brought up multiple things for people in 2020. For me, sometimes it matters where it comes from, but sometimes it doesn't, you know? Like, yes, I can identify that block, but it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if I learned it from my dad or another lifetime. What matters is I take responsibility for it and change it. At least that's my own self-talk, but I would love to hear
that's a huge step forward from what we're taught to think.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a big improvement. I do enjoy, because I do think everyone eventually connects the dots, and whether you're ready to go all the way back to the original root transgressor, which usually is, you know, age 3 to 5, very often parents, you know, even the best, most loving parents are going to go up and down their spiral, they're in vibrational flow, and they're going to deliver contrast to their kids. The stream has said, I love this. It made so much sense to me the first time this came out, that by design, we are born up to speed with the time that we project into. That's why someone being born today is going to be so much in tune to our current day technology than someone that's my age. they're just going to pick something up where, you know, there's certain things that I look at and I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel old now because this makes no sense to me. When Snapchat came out, I thought that. I'm like, okay, I like social media, but I don't know what this is about. I don't want any part of it. It's obviously not for my age group. So although I love TikTok, I will tell you that. But you're born up to speed with the time that you project into, and your parents were born up to speed with their time. And it's really easy to see in your grandparents how different we are generationally with the way we operate our lives. So it's like humanity is constantly upgrading its operating system. And when you're born with the new operating system, but your parents are still running on a different operating system. So that's going to deliver some contrast in your life by design. But understanding that from a soul perspective, from source perspective, we are coming into this lifetime for the contrast, for the positive and the negative. Because if there's no negative, then there's no positive. And if there's no challenges in our world, then we're not creating anything new. We're not expanding. And we see that in our lives. We see that we weather these storms in our lives. And ultimately, if you are looking at it from a high perspective, from a positive mindset, you see how all of them help you grow. You learn from your challenges. You learn from your mistakes. And if you think about everything that we've created, every human creation, the structure that you live in, the vehicles that we travel in, the roads that we travel on, the technology that we're using right now, everything is a response to a former perceived problem. It's problem solving. You know, business 101, what problem are you solving for people? If you can't tell me what problem you're solving, then your business is not going to be successful. So you've got to know what problem. Apple knows what problem they're solving for people. They put a computer in everyone's pocket in the world, right? So that problem solving is new creation, and new creation is expansion of the earth environment and of the entire universe. And the stream has been very clear that we come into physical and experience challenges to inspire us toward new creation. And however we operate our life experience is the experience that we came here to have. That's why when we cross over the death experience and return to our completed state of consciousness, we reflect back on our lifetime in appreciation, regardless of how it was handled. Whether we died at 27 of a drug overdose or 50 in a car accident or, you know, lived to be 105 and just, you know, died peacefully in our sleeps. It was the experience that we came and had in physical, and it was imperfect, but the imperfection of it was the perfection of it, because we didn't just come to just be, you know, we're that way eternally. So the idea of coming into physical, and I know a lot of people want to birth this new earth of perfection where there are no problems, there's no commerce, everyone's just cared for, and we're all agreeing with each other. I don't believe that that's what physical is about. So when you take away that idea of operating as an eternal, you know, consciousness that is pure love and physical, and really accept the contrasting nature of our world, and then really understand that peeled away perspective of source and pull that into your life, that's the Taya practice. That is operating your life from source perspective, taking fear and judgment systematically out of your life. And when you want clarity, if no one takes anything else away from this interaction today, if you ever want clarity on any topic, think about the topic void of fear. Take fear out completely. If fear were not a factor, what would you do? And that is clarity, because fear never has to be a factor. The only thing, you know, fear serves the purpose of, you know, the thing that's going to eat us is racing toward us, and fear motivates us to get out of its way. In modern day life, you know, the bus is speeding down the hill. Fear, you know, kicks us into gear and we get out of the way. Fear has a function there, but it's been very well developed in us, in all of our communication and advertising and our teachings, and everything is fear-based now. Do this or you're going to go to jail, and you need to fear going to jail because it's a horrible place. Do this or you're going to be unhealthy and it's going to cost you money and it's going to, you know, separate you from life ultimately. Do this or you're going to die. Do this or, you know, there's so many things where fear is used to motivate us, and we sort of run on fear. And then it's so easy with that operating system of fear to turn everyone into a victim and tell them it's not your fault. You had nothing to do with it. It was a terrible thing that happened to you. It's the worst thing ever. It's so horrible. It's awful. You'll never heal from this, you know, and it might feel good on the surface, but you're taking someone's power away from them. Their magnificent creative power to move through any experience in life and heal from it. And I work with people in my coaching program who have experienced the worst. Not everyone. There's all kinds of different reasons for people joining my program. But I've had people who have discovered their children having committed suicide and murdered and things like that. Those are the extreme examples that I use simply because we all have that thing that we think we could never forgive or never and certainly never appreciate. But the path to healing is through that process of seeing it through the eyes of Source, that perspective of non-judgment. And we are so laced up with judgment that it's peeling away layers. You know, don't start with the most awful thing that happened in your life. You're right. You know, start with this is the wall. This is the abundance block. And why can I not, a very common one is money. You know, why cannot I align with financial abundance? I'm a good person. I do good work. I want to help people. I shouldn't have to struggle to pay my bills every month. And there's a block that's there that's holding it, or you wouldn't have the problem. And it's easy to throw in the towel and say, okay, this stuff doesn't work on every topic. It certainly doesn't work on money because nobody I know has money and money's so hard to come by. And everything I read is about how rigged the money system is. And there's all these people that are conspiring against all of us because they want all the money. And you just build that story and build that story and build that story. But then you meet people that have money and they have a whole different story. And not all of them were born with it. They've learned to tell a different story and learn to not demonize the system of commerce that we have. And I so often hear people in spiritual circles say, you know, I would have never chosen this environment and it's so, you know, materialistic and all that. But we did. Our soul chose to come here and have an experience. So there's not an aspect of it that I want to demonize because this was the experience I chose to have. Embrace all of it. And when you embrace all of it, everything just flows. It's magical in the embracing of every experience. And then the not needing to hoard the experiences either, because that's rooted in fear. When you think you have to latch onto somebody forever or some experience or some material thing and have it forever, that's rooted in fear. You've manifested it once and now you think you're not going to manifest it again or even better version of.
Another mic drop on that one. Yeah, I see a lot of that, you know, I mean, you could say relationships, money. And I love reading all the wealth consciousness books and hearing about all these, you know, people from now and back in the day, like Think and Go Rich, The Science of Getting Rich, all those kind of books and all the stories people say that being wealthy or abundant is a consciousness. And, you know, might lose everything in one day, but that's okay because they know how they're going to rebuild it tomorrow or today.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, and that's a huge difference.
Who was definitely, I projected into, you know, lower middle class. And then from there, when my parents got divorced, we were definitely poor. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing that we were poor for the first time and really being shocked. And I looked around and I was, oh yeah, it kind of this is poor, right? But, you know, growing up in that consciousness and in an environment that demonized money, you know, people that have money are evil. What did they do to get it? Very jealous, very envious. You know, I was taught that as a child, but luckily, again, you know, my parents were disconnected enough where I didn't really absorb that as truth. I questioned their teachings early on and continued to do so. And I looked at their lives and thought, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to you because you're not living the life that I want to live. So I'm going to go find somebody else. And, you know, the science of getting anything is the same operation. It's about making peace with it first, not demonizing it, and aligning yourself with the having of it, the isness of it. And simply allowing that to be and really trusting the universal process of creation. That's why we call Taya, trust your abundance, trust the universal process of creation. So when your vibration is low, then you're still trusting the process of creation. You know, you may not feel great in that position, but you're trusting it. I'm trusting the universal process of creation. I'm just in a low energy, low vibe time. And the sooner I find appreciation for it, the quicker I'm going to raise my vibration and solve whatever I'm creating down here. And it's okay. Because every time I have this roadblock that comes up in my life, I realize that it's the universe actually helping me create a better version of whatever I'm trying to create. Relationship, business, money, body, whatever it is, you know, I ebb and flow on all these topics. And I have throughout my lifetime, and I probably always will. But there's always such value in the ebb. You know, I'm 53 now, at 51, I was in the best physical shape of my life. I was ripped. I was going to the gym every day and just in great shape. And I had been up to 300 pounds in my 30s. And I, you know, took the weight off in my 40s. I kept it off for a decade. I was posting pictures of myself, my before and after on Instagram, you know, getting thousands and thousands of likes. Yeah, I finally cracked the code. And then COVID comes along. The gym shut down. I'm a great cook. So I'm cooking for my partner and myself. We're not going out. We're not doing anything for a while. We live in California where everything has been shut down forever. And I started baking. I'd never been a baker. I've always been a good cook. I've never been a baker. So I started doing all this Barefoot Contessa baking. And suddenly he and I are both gaining weight like crazy. And I was really judging it and pushing against it. And I went through this period where I thought, well, no, this is what I'm experiencing. It's okay that I'm putting weight back on. I don't need to fear it. The fear of it and the demonization of it is what's going to keep it on me forever. If that's not what I want, that's not the path to changing it. So I said, I'm just going to love my heavier body. I'm just going to love what is. Even when I try to, you know, put something on that doesn't fit anymore, I'm just going to love what is. And I know that am I loving what is, the alignment with the shift in that is going to just come. Rather than I've got to get on a diet and I've got, you know, when you start thinking you've got to do something and it's rooted in the hating of yourself or the hating in something or the pushing against, you were not successful. So I went into that, I just love what is. And I look at some pictures of myself from videos not long ago, and I put on a lot of weight and I had this long beard and I finished my book. In doing that, I realized I sort of loaded up all this armor around me and I became a hermit and I finished the Taya book. And it took me 3 years to write it. And I progressed. I created all this new stuff in that state of physicality. And then once I showed appreciation for that, I got right back on keto. We're building a gym here at the house now. I don't care, you know, about the gym opening and closing and all that stuff anymore. We manifested a gym and the equipment, all that stuff here at the house. And I'm excited and eager to get back on my fitness journey again. And I'm already on it. So it already feels good. I've already lost a lot of that weight, actually. And you know, it's an experience that was had. It's not about living in perfection, because that experience, now I found the silver lining of it, that it was just what I did during COVID. And maybe it's not the 3D version of you know, perfection, but I'm not about that. Life is not perfection. It's not supposed to be. It's not going to be. So we might as well let go of that expectation.
Amen. I think that's the story of so many of us during COVID, because I'm over here raising my hand and stuff. And just side little note, for me, you know, I lost a lot of muscle mass, which is fine. But when I started practicing yoga, like that's my home. That's my go-to place. Again, my body would not move the way it used to. And I mean, no matter how bad of a day, I would cry on my mat and it would be so therapeutic during the practice and I would love it. This year, getting back into yoga end of 2020, I have never been so pissed off in my life. And I judged it. I was like, I hate yoga now. I hate, you know, just sputtering. But the same thing is I had to take a step back and say, okay, what's really coming up for me here? What are the judgments? What do I really want to take away from this and this bird's eye perspective, bird's eye view for me? And what I really didn't like is because I was so focused on what I wasn't from what I was before, you know, where I wanted to be. And I expected yoga to get me snap back into that really deep spiritual presence, physical practice, and it didn't. And so, among other things, it was a beautiful teacher at the time. I was like, I'm never going to step foot on my mat again. And here I am. I'm back to practicing at least 3 to 4 times a week, not back up to my normal strength. Like, you know, just like you said, it's a practice. It's this journey. And I'm loving every process of it, getting to the next step or just being with what is. And, you know, I found my new love of yoga and noticing the extra sticky points in my body, or like when my mind goes off the mat and thinking, oh, those are just as good of a teacher for me as well. And I think so many of us, at least with the physical body, and I'm sure mental and spiritually this past year, have come up against ourselves. And I think a beautiful practice and program like the Tire practice can help so many of us. And I would love to hear how people can get a hold of you, get in touch with you if they want to learn more. I'm sure listening to this your podcast, The Stream of David. But if they're interested in working with you or taking your program, how can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, we're the Stream of David everywhere website, everywhere. But we have a Facebook group. Those of you that are on Facebook still, it has a good purpose. It does, and private groups are great because there's such great interactive abilities on that platform. So I have a Facebook group called the Taya Practice, TYA, and that is a great place to get in and start learning the Taya Practice. We teach it in there. All the time. And then from there, we have boot camp program and a mastery program and all that stuff. But I always just invite people to get into the Facebook group. It's completely free. Start learning about the Taya practice. Be inspired by it. We offer a lot of master classes and things like that we announce in there all the time. My master classes are also free of charge. So when those come back around, you can take those. Also, if you get on my email list, if you go to my website, you can get on the email list and you get an invite to take an on-demand masterclass that teaches you. It's a 2-hour masterclass, so buckle up. It's long. It's a lot longer than it's supposed to be, but people love it. They take it and they join my bootcamp from it all the time, so I'm not changing it because it takes them on that journey of really learning it. It's not just an advertisement to book a call. It really teaches you that. And then if you want to come and work with myself and the coaches to really learn this practice, and that's your calling, then you have a path to being able to do that. So join the Taya Practice group on Facebook is a great place to start.
Cool. We'll have all that linked in the show notes. But thank you, David, for coming on here and channeling, if you will, with us in a way. We will have you on eventually. We're going to schedule this to actually speak with the Stream of David, if you will. But
yeah, I'd love to do that. I would love to come back and just channel. And it's very different. Talking to them and talking to me is very different.
Yeah. I love it. I look forward to that. And once we have it scheduled, I might put it in the show notes. Everybody will get an estimated date for that as well. But thank you for showing up for yourself and showing up for us today. And I always close the show asking, how may we, the listeners, be of service for you as an act of gratitude today?
I would say just taking some of this that's been offered and applying it in your life and giving it a chance, because I see it transform lives all over the world from all walks of life, and giving it the power, because really everything has the power that you give to it. And if you're looking for transformation and you assign yourself to something and really give it the power, then this is a practice that has no judgment, no rules. It's just about you loving yourself more, understanding your own natural vibrational flow, and moving into your own abundance by trusting it.
Gotta love that. Thank you again so much for coming on the show today, David.
Thank you.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.